It's 6:20. This is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. Almost 3 months ago, Fort Worth became the epicenter of a fierce debate over the rights of transgendered students. Today, that city school district revised its controversial anti-bullying guidelines. KERA's Christopher Kyler reports that the new guidelines are getting a warmer reception, even from critics.
On a functional level, Superintendent Kent Scribner says Fort Worth ISD's revised transgender student guidelines are virtually the same as the original guidelines approved in April.
The primary difference is the communication with parents is emphasized.
When Scribner approved the original guidelines, critics framed it as a bathroom issue. Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick called Scribner a dictator who should be fired and panned the guidelines as social engineering. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton sent a letter to the school board saying they violated the state's education code. In statements today, both Patrick and Paxton applauded the revision. Superintendent Scribner says the revised guidelines call for school officials to work with parents to craft an individualized plan for each transgender student.
We provide accommodations all the time for students. We have students who have anxiety, students who are obese, students who are incontinent. And in each one of those cases, we develop a plan by which the students likely will use the nurse's bathroom or another single stall bathroom. This will be no different.
Scribner says the revised guidelines, like the original ones, are about far more than just bathrooms. They're about balancing the health and safety needs of transgender kids with the rest of the district's students. Christopher Connolly, KERA News.
Tomorrow morning, we'll have an in-depth feature on Superintendent Scribner's decision. Attorney General Ken Paxton was not nearly as happy about a federal court decision today that the state's voter ID law violates the Voting Rights Act. As KERA's Stella Chavez reports, the lawsuit challenging that measure was born in Dallas-Fort Worth.
The Texas voter ID law has been in place since 2013, and opponents have long argued that it disenfranchises voters, particularly minorities. The ruling came from the Fifth Circuit, which is known as a conservative court. The lawsuit in question is titled Vesey versus Abbott. That's Mark Vesey, who's now a Democrat representing Fort Worth in Congress, and Greg Abbott, the Duncanville High School graduate, who's now the Republican governor. Vesey says Wednesday was a big day.
I think that the Republicans' efforts to try and make voting hard and try to make it difficult and burdensome on the poor, on minorities, on people that have been disenfranchised in the past was bad, and I think that this ruling is going to give us an opportunity to make a lot of that right.
The law is considered one of the toughest in the nation. Republican defenders, including Attorney General Ken Paxton, say it's necessary to prevent voter fraud. Today, he issued a statement saying it is unfortunate that this common-sense law providing protection against fraud was not upheld in its entirety. The law requires that anyone who votes must show an approved form of photo ID. That could be a driver's license, state-issued ID card, or a passport. Elaine Wyatt, who's with the League of Women Voters in Texas, says the law is unfair because not everyone has one of those types of ID.
Many students these days don't drive, so getting an ID would be on the list would be a problem where they have an ID that works for other purposes.
Under the ruling, a lower court must now decide what voters should be permitted to show before voting in the November election. Wyant says the court could let people show the previously allowed forms of ID, which included a voter registration card or a utility bill. Or the court could expand the list of acceptable photo IDs to include student and employee ID cards. Stella Chavez, KERA News.
Ted Cruz won't be on the ballot this fall. He will have a starring role tonight at the Republican National Convention. Texas was Cruz territory before he dropped out of the presidential race. And getting all the delegates behind Donald Trump last night took some effort behind the scenes. Andrew Schneider is covering the convention for Houston Public Media, and he spoke from Cleveland today with KERA's Sam Baker.
How important is Senator Cruz's speech for the Texas delegation?
It's very clear that Cruz was the favorite candidate. There are a lot of people that have decided Trump may not have been my first choice. He may not have even been my second choice, but he is the nominee of the party. There are a lot of people, though, who were not terribly thrilled about it, and they're going to need to be wooed over. So Senator Cruz's speech could make a big difference with them.
If he uses the word endorsement, would that go a long way toward unifying that group?
You know, if Senator Cruz would make the argument Donald Trump is the conservative candidate, is the one that is going to fight for the same values that I fought for, then that might work. Some people that were not happy with Trump's nomination and tried to make their voices heard.
About 70 delegates, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing was, none of the Texas Republicans who were opposed to Trump's nomination were on the Rules Committee, so they didn't get their voices heard. They tried to on Monday when there was an effort to try and force a roll call vote. They didn't succeed. Most people, I think, realize this is a battle that's been fought and lost, and now they need to move on.
So what kind of efforts have there been to unite this group? I understand Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick called for that.
Dan Patrick was just only one of many elected officials that have been speaking at these morning breakfasts or where they're headquartered. And all of them have been going on at this theme. It's like, look, you don't have the option of staying home. If you don't vote for Donald Trump, you're essentially voting for Hillary Clinton. They're trying also, I think, to push this should be a campaign about values, not personalities. So whether you like Donald Trump or not, he's the one you should vote for if you have conservative priorities.
That said, are there specific issues that this delegation wants to hear about, and are they getting to hear about them at all during the convention?
One of the things that I've been hearing most frequently is, look, we passed the most conservative platform possibly in Republican Party history. So we got a lot of what we wanted in terms of immigration, national security, abortion, health care, and Obamacare, and the judiciary. You know, just in terms of the points that they want to make to argue that you need to vote for the party as opposed to the man, whether you like the man or not, they've been making them regularly. I mean, most of the delegation has been showing up to these morning meetings. So this is not something that people are just hearing when they get on the floor in the evening.
Andrew Schneider of Houston Public Media, thank you for being with me.
My pleasure.
Donald Trump, of course, continues to promise to build a wall along the U.S.-Mexican border. Alfredo Corchado of the Dallas Morning News is also covering the convention. And today on Think, he told Chris Boyd about a recent poll that measures how residents on both sides of the border feel about the idea of a wall.
People are not against security. I mean, people want more security. In fact, security was a big, big issue. Much more for the Mexicans than the Americans. But it wasn't that they're against building walls. They just want practical solutions. And building a wall, as one person said, you know, that's really for cowards. I mean, you're not dealing with the issues. You're not dealing with the problems. You just want to wall each other off. And this age and time in the world, I mean, it's a bad idea, especially for Mexico and the United States, two countries that are so economically and culturally integrated. It's not the way to go. We were told over and over again.
Alfredo Corchado is co-director of the Borderlands program at Arizona State University's Cronkite School of Journalism and a correspondent for the Dallas Morning News. Tomorrow on Think, Chris Boyd will host a two-hour special featuring the latest news from the convention, from NPR's Sam Sanders, interviews about Trump's background, and a look at the campaign ahead. Finally today, a funny moment involving Senator Cruz today in Cleveland. He spoke this afternoon to a large group of his staffers and volunteers outside a lakeside restaurant. He explained just how close they came to winning the nomination without saying the name Trump, and as if right on cue.
Our party now has a nominee. And I don't know.
That's when Donald Trump's private plane with his name spelled out in bold white letters flew directly behind the stage where Cruz was speaking.
That was pretty well orchestrated. Jeff, did you email them to fly the plane right when I said that?
Cruz will address the convention tonight. Live coverage starts on KERA 90.1 TV and streaming online at KERA News. That's starting at 7 o'clock. Mostly sunny skies will continue into tomorrow. It should be sunny and hot with a high near 100. Tomorrow night, mostly clear, low around 79. It's currently 96 degrees in Dallas, 98 in Fort Worth. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.